that you want to encourage us, Father God, that you want to reveal yourself to us, your love, Lord God, your unconditional love and favor that you have for us, Father. And I just pray, Father, that our ears, our hearts, our spirits will be open to receive, Lord God. And yes, Lord, that when we leave, Lord God, that our batteries will be charged again, that we can just feel excited, Lord God. And Lord, that you will, Lord, that you'll impart something to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, just one or two announcements from my side. Just remember, when the time is moving on, when it's becoming summertime again, church will still start at 9:30. So technically, you'll have to start preparing yourself a bit earlier, including me. So please remember, church is still going to be 9:30. See that you don't come here, you know, just as everyone is leaving. Don't be caught off guard like that. And then, just from my side as well, I'm really looking forward to Pastor Rolf and Sonia, who's going to visit us from that Friday to the Sunday. I'm looking forward to receive them here. And as Priska said, on the Saturday, we're going to have something like, let's call it a bit of a grand God, kids God's way. Now, obviously, we can't in a whole morning cover everything that's necessary. But please come. I think he's going to impart a little bit more just about the heart and, you know, a few practical things about discipline and loving your kids and those type of things. So as Paul said correctly, there's quite a lot of kids in church. That means there's quite a lot of adults in the church. And I think all of us can always learn something new. So I also just want to encourage you, as I said last time, there will be something small or something light to snack on. So that's why you just need to register, that we can have all the, you know, all the cookies and cool drink and coffee and tea, everything, that we can just make our sums when we order that. And then I hope that most of you who enjoyed the Euros Day, Thursday, public holiday, who enjoyed it? I did. A few other people as well. Who didn't enjoy it? Who had to work? Inni had to work and Krista had to work. Okay, guys. But yeah, it was a blessing to have a holiday or a nice day like that. And I'm sure especially those of you who've got small kids and have to wake up early in the morning, it's getting a bit easier now. It's not that cold anymore. It's also earlier in the morning the birds start to sing and, you know, it's starting to get light earlier. So next week or next time when we get together, I think next Sunday. When does the time change? I think it's next Sunday. Yeah, it's next Sunday. So then if you have to wake up earlier, you'll see it's not that cold and it's light. Okay, let's start together. I want to read you from 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. Now, that's a very short part of Scripture, but I think we can really read a lot in that. This morning, I'm going to share a bit. I'm going to encourage a bit. So I'm not going to give we're not going to have the deepest revelation or prophecy this morning, but it's something I'm sure that all of us know. How does it work? Some of you might know it a bit better, and some are maybe still learning together. I myself had to learn a lot. But we're going to talk a bit about trusting in God, you know. And just, I know, how many of you had challenges, or really, really big challenges, the past, say, week or two? Who of you, anyone who feel they have been challenged, there was difficult circumstances, things that you didn't know whether you should go left or right? Now, I'm not going to give the solution to each of your problems, because I know every one of you have got a different challenge at home or at work or maybe with your kids or wherever in life it might be. But I just believe there's something of the heart behind this that I want to tell you about. Now, Scripture says we brought nothing into this world. None of us did. Okay, it's just the way we were born. And we will take nothing out of this world. Now, that's a bit humbling, isn't it? If you go and sit and you think that we are working, Paul was just talking about money and finances, and then the day that you die, if you're a good parent, then you'll leave something behind for your kids. You'll give them let's call it a generational blessing, not a generational curse or anything. But the most important thing is there's only one thing that we're going to see in heaven one day. And what will that be? We are living now here. None of us are taking our cars or houses or anything with us. But what can we take with us? People, Mari's got it right. The disciples we make. Those people, we will see them. When you disciple someone, when you see someone coming into the kingdom of God, you know you'll see that person one day. But materialistic things, etc., those things, according to scripture, we're not going to see them, but we will see each other, and that's going to be exciting. Last year we talked a bit about, you know, the life after this and how things are going to be, but this is just a bit of a foundation or introduction I want to use. And the second scripture I want to read to you is from also from 1 Timothy 6:17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Now, but the scripture doesn't have anything against you being wealthy or being blessed or earning a good salary or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But it says, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Now, there you can see where I'm going this morning. Maybe if you've got a lot of money, or you think you've got a lot of money, or you don't, many times we can trust in the things you have. For instance, if you've got you have a farm, okay, and now you're living, and if you think maybe something will go terribly wrong, then you can always sell the farm. Maybe it's like backups or savings, or if there's always like a insurance policy, maybe. We plan for many things, and that's not wrong. But it says we should rather trust in God, you know, because God doesn't change. He's eternally the same, and we know if we put our trust in God, then we are okay. Okay? Because the thing I want is, in the world, many people trust in different things. Maybe it's your job, your family. Maybe you come from a very wealthy family, in riches, power, authority, those type of things. And then you can easily, you know, you can think, okay, maybe I earn $50,000 a month, just Namibian dollars. Let's use that as an example. Then you can think, but if something goes wrong this month, next month I will receive another $50,000 for the work I'm doing. You know, so we can. It's quite easy. I think sometimes when, you know, these days a lot of times you'll see sportsmen, the Tiger Woods of the world, or the people in Hollywood. Then you will see how much they earn for a new movie, or if you win the U.S. Open in golf. Then most of you, I know most of my sheep, I know you quite well, and most of you aren't billionaires. No, none of us. I don't hope I'm not. But the thing is, if you've got so much money, I don't have, but I sometimes wonder, how must life be? If you know your credit card, there isn't a limit on that. You can just swipe it, and you know, it will always go through. During the week, I spoke to a friend of mine in South Africa, and we said something about finances, and he said, it's just his bank account just go from pink to red, and pink to red, and it never gets into green. But the moral of the story is if you've got a lot of property or investments or things, the devil will always try to maybe to just move you a little bit to that side. You know, and that's going with what Paul said in the offering. So in the natural, if you've got 100 people working for you, then it can make you feel secure. But what happens if you're in that situation and, for instance, one of your kids get terminal cancer, or your wife dies in a road car accident or something? Then your whole world is upside down. And that's the place that we don't want to be at. I remember when I was a student, one of our lecturers, you know, we were on a Eidstappie, what's that in English? That thing. We were there, and we were talking, and it was a lady, and she was telling, and we were talking about many things, and then it moved a bit to the spiritual side. And then after a while, but I had a lot of respect for her, for the academic she was. And then she talked about going to what is a waarseer? Or those people that looks in the crystal ball, or read teacups, or, yeah. Now, and I was a bit thrown about that, because I didn't thought she would do something like that. Now, it's in our human nature that we always want to see what's the economy going to be like in 6 months' time, or your plan for your December holiday. No, that's not wrong. But she goes to a waarseer and try to get security of that, because if she know what that person tell her, then she can plan for that. Now, that's maybe her way of doing it, but I don't think that's foolproof, because I'm not sure which spirits are speaking to that person who gives that information. Because as far as I know from Scripture, we can't see the future. You know, there's certain things that Scripture does tell us what will happen, but there's a few things we can predict in the natural. One of them I can think of is the weather in Namibia this time of the year. My wife always asks me, what's the weather going to be like today? Because ladies like to know that, because they need to know what to wear. Now, it's not too difficult to prophesy about that. If it will be probably between 27 and 29 degrees, sunshine, no rain, and you can live with that. But the thing is, it doesn't help to trust in things or our own abilities or anything like that. I had a friend of mine, one of those guys, he's still a bit rough around the edges, but he's got a great heart, and me and Maritza really loves him. I think two Fridays ago, we invited him for a braai because I just wanted to spend time with him. And let's call him, he's a bit of a rough jack, you know. And then I know a cat has got nine lives. And I think that friend of mine has used about three of his lives. And the last one is he was driving on the Don Fuljoen Road one night quite late. And then a kudu jumped in front of him and he rolled his vehicle. And the car was written off and nothing happened to him. And he said, actually, he was wearing his seatbelt that night. You know, and that was a bit of a miracle because usually he don't. Now, that's a bit of security we can have. But the thing is, guys, the point I want to make with that example is many times we can have that pride in our hearts. You know, I'm just driving quickly to my home because it's just 5Ks. And, I mean, people don't drive that fast in Windhoek, in the central area. Maybe a taxi can drive in front of you, but you will just bump your car. Not too bad. But it's a thing in our hearts that you can think, no, it won't happen to me because I'll check out where I drive. You know? And when he told it that night, he was actually very honest at that moment. He knew it was just grace that he had another chance in his life. Now, what does the Bible teach us then about, the challenges we face, the difficulties we have? Obviously, the solution isn't in the world. It can only be in Scripture. It can only be in Jesus Christ. I want to read to you from Matthew 6, verse 25 to 33. I think you all know that very well. So please bear with me as I read it. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single day or a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, this is always a beautiful part of Scripture. I'm sure most of you know it quite well. But isn't that soothing, you know? God doesn't say in Scripture, we're going to all have millions of Namibian dollars, and nothing is ever going to go wrong. There's many books been written on, you know, where is God in pain or in difficult circumstances. I remember when I was 16 years old, one day my dad came. Now, we know something were wrong, but I know my dad came on a Friday to evening after he and my mom was at the doctor. And my dad sat down with me and my sister, and he told us that my mom has got terminal cancer. Now, that was a bit of a shocker, you know. We were 16, my sister was 14, and things were very uncertain at that stage. That was the first day in my life I saw my dad cry. And, you know, it was very difficult for us as a family because I didn't know what was going to happen in future. I was in grade 10. I'm still a young man. And everything that I had in life or thought about got a new perspective. Because at that stage, we didn't know, will my mom live maybe for 4 months or 4 years? Or what will the future hold? You know, so that, as a young man, it really, I had to sit down and think about a few things. And my mom actually died in 8 months from the day we got to know that she got cancer till the day she died. It was exactly 8 months. And I saw my mom going downhill. And then you go, many times you go to God and you ask God, but how does it work? My mom didn't drink or smoke, or she exercised a lot, and she, you know, she was a good citizen, if I can put it that way. And then you might think, I was sitting there many times and kind of arguing with God and asking Him, but how does this work? Why? I mean, she's only 47 years old, and my grandmother lived up to 92 years. How does these things work? You know, and the Dominie came and he prayed, and many people prayed, and we talked a lot, and then there was hope, and then there wasn't. But you know what? At the end of the day, 16 November 1996, she died. Okay? And that's what happened. Now, my heart this morning is, we've got many challenges. Maybe your dog has run away. That can be an issue. Maybe things about your work. My dog ran away once, and I was very touched by that. But we got her back. She climbed up under through the fence, so I gave her now so much food that she's too fat. She can't get through anymore. But on a serious note, you know, we've got our challenges at work, our marriages. I spoke to Heidi beforehand, and you know what, guys? The devil hates us. He's our enemy, but he hates us. He hates our church, our families, our marriages, our children, and the devil, he hates God. Yeah, that's a fact. Now, so he will always try to make things as unpleasant to us as he can. Okay? Have some of you experienced that? We live in a fallen time after Adam and Eve, and Scripture says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Me or you, in our own strength, we can't fight the devil. We can't. But in Jesus, the scenario is a lot different. Okay? So I want to go on. So you all know there isn't a quick fix for us as Christians. We can't. When your engine, when there's problems, or many times, many things in life, if I could just say in Jesus' name, Mom, be healed. And we did that. But some people are still going to die. There's many car accidents. Bad things do happen. Okay? But I believe this morning, what I believe God was talking to me about this week, is what do we do, you know, with the scenario or the circumstances we have to face. A friend of mine, he was at school with me. He was one or two school years older. And we used to go on holiday together. Now, his father died in a motorcycle accident about 2 years ago, before my mom died. And I remember thinking of that guy, Johannes, and I thought, like, oh, it must be so bad to lose your father. And we felt so sorry for them, okay? But it's something that did happen. And unfortunately, you know, we've got a lot of decisions in life. We've got our own free will. You know, God doesn't force us to be Christians. We must each come to a place where we choose to be. But after about a year after his father's death, he really started to rebel. You know, he really started doing the wrong things. And by the time he finished school, he was really at a bad place, and he did a lot of wrong things. And you know, then my mom died, and I was on that same place almost. And I just figured out somehow that I don't have an excuse, you know, to drink myself paralytic or use drugs or anything, because I'm still going to be accountable for what I do one day. Okay? And that's the thing. He got hurt a lot because he was also still at school, losing your father. That's tough. It's bad. Okay? But the thing is, he chose the wrong option, I believe. And through my father's guidance and love, it was really God's grace. I just knew I can totally go on the wrong road. But there's not going to be, no one's going to say after 5 years, oh, poor Carl, he's now in rehab because he lost his mom. That you can't work like that. So I really feel and believe that we should abide in God. The next part I want to read to you is also a very favorite part of Scripture of mine. It's Psalm 122, verse 1. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will never slumber nor sleep. Now, there where Israel stands, you can just put in the church or yourself. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Okay? Many times, whether I was a student studying or there was a financial tough time in my life, I went and I closed the door and I read the scripture. And I've got so much encouragement every time. Why? Because scripture is alive. Okay? It blesses us when we read it. It's so important that we know scripture, that we read it quite often, not quite often, daily. You can't live without that. And this scripture, I've treasured it. The school where I was in South Africa, we had a tradition. After each term, we all got together in the school hall and there was all the formalities. And then the head boy used to read this scripture for all of us, you know, everyone traveling and going on school tours or whatever it might be. But so many times I knew, God, I can't face this in my own. This challenge is too big for me. And then I went to read this, or maybe that scripture in Matthew 6. And then maybe I still failed the test. Maybe something still went wrong, or the challenge didn't just in one quick day just disappear. But it was something in my heart that the scriptures did. After my mom died, in a sense, I just knew I had to make peace with that. Because scripture teaches us in Matthew 6 that if I worry, you can't add a single day to your life by doing that. I know there's many of you sitting here this morning and you may be worried about future or finances, or there's many things that can really trouble you. And I can't say to you this morning, I'll lay hands on you and I'll pray for you and it will just go away and everything's going to be 100%. It doesn't work like that. But you must know, I'm not saying here this morning, we can't pray and someone will not be healed. I'm just talking about the heart here this morning. It's a decision that we have to make to put our trust in God, because in what else can we trust? Then I want to read to you the next part of scripture is in Joshua 1. And there God was speaking to Joshua. And I actually want to you guys to, in your own imagination, to put in your own name there when God is speaking to Joshua. This is also a promise for us from scripture. So see it as God is speaking to you this morning. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now, put in Panganai or whatever your name is this morning, you can put it there. I will not leave you, not forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Now, the difference between meditation, the Eastern meditation as the monks and those Buddhist guys do, is to empty yourself. You know, you must just empty. Okay? But in scripture, we must fill ourselves. Do not let the word of God depart from you. Meditate on it day and night. And at a certain stage in my life, I actually recognized I don't know scripture that well. You know, some people can quote it very good and it's important that you know it. But when scripture is part of your life, when you are living and scripture, when the Holy Spirit can only show you a scripture that you know. Maybe he'll tell you, go to Psalm 103 and then you can read it and that Rhema word will spring up into your face and you'll know, okay, this is what God wants to speak to me about. But many times in circumstances, you need to know, then the Holy Spirit will just lay on your heart. Remember what God said. Maybe if you feel very discouraged, you can go and read John 3:16 and you will know that God loves you so much. And then the devil will tell you you're a failure or you're not going to make it, or just look around you and how bad things are. But then that scripture can come back to you and you can just quote it to yourself and know it's the word of God and it's the truth. And I really believe it will bless you. Something that I also realized last year is many times you can sit with someone, a friend of yours, maybe in most cases, if it's someone that's still a bit less mature as a Christian, and then say it's an older person talking to a younger person. And now that young man has got maybe relational issues with his girlfriend or a young marriage or something like that. And then it's not too difficult, if you've got a lot of experience and you know Scripture quite well, to kind of be God for that person. Do you know what I understand what I mean? For instance, if Paul is asking me advice about building a house, and I've built 3 houses before, then I can just tell him, no, it's not an issue, just do this or that. And maybe it will work. But what I want to encourage you is to teach that person, nah, to go to God and seek for themselves for the answer. Because many times you can, in the natural, just by being older or more wise, you can tell a 15-year-old kid, don't do this, do that, and it will work. But for us, as most of you sitting here this morning, being more mature, you know, we can talk to our friends, and that's good advice. There's wisdom in the counsel of many. But I challenge you this morning, when you've got a challenge, to go to God and ask Him for your own solution for the problem that you have. Because I believe God wants to help us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He wants to help us. Okay, let's go on to John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the wine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, He will take away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither you can unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's also very encouraging, that we can know. When I'm always, on a Sunday morning, when I have to stand in the pulpit, I come to God and I say, Father, I don't want to speak out of my own authority, out of my own knowledge, my own will, my own motivation, or whatever the situation might be. But I want to abide in God, because I want to do His will. And we can see from this part in Scripture that if we abide in God, then we will bear much fruit. And that's the message of this morning. I know it's something that you guys know, but I just corporately, and I want us to pray afterwards, I want you guys again to pray for each other, that we should know that when those challenges come, when you have to write that exam and you just feel I'm not prepared well enough, or you have to go and there's a big business transaction and you know your opposition or someone is very well prepared and you're maybe a bit uncertain, then you can just know to abide in God. And He will help you, because I believe He really wants to abide us. Now, I know that some of you have fasted, but I'm not going to ask you by show of hands, but those of you who have fasted, for most people it doesn't come very naturally. I'm one of those people, when I hear fast, I already get weak, because I've got quite a fast metabolism, and you know, my blood sugar falls, and then I feel very weak. But in 2007, when we had to go to Nepal, on a mission trip or an outreach, we had to fast for 3 days. Now that means, I remember that Thursday night I had my last meal, and then only on the Saturday morning we as a team were to break it by communion and talk together. And I know for a long time this is coming, and I just said to God, Father, you know I can't make a half a day on my own. Then I just feel too weak. But you know what, guys? I made it through those 3 days. And the rest of the team did it. And I can tell you today, it was only a water fast, so you're allowed to drink water, but not food. And there's a very good reason for that, and a spiritual principle beneath that, because we were really trusting God for a few things. But I know for a fact that in my own strength, I can't do it. Okay? I can't do it. But when you abide in God, when He is your God, when He's the Father, and you tell God, I can't make it, please help me. Then there's something kicking in, there's something happening. And I know I was just as afraid of the dancers. In the team, we have to do these dances when we go out, because it's an outreach. Now, I'm not sure if I were more afraid of dancing or the fast, but it was a close call, because I really don't like dancing. I'm not very gifted in that area. But the point I want to make is, no matter whether it's a fast or exam you write, if you abide in God, then there's hope. When you try to do it in your own strength, it will always be a challenge. Okay. Then I want us just to look at 3 things that I believe is important for us as Christians to know as we are facing our challenges each day. Maybe today I haven't got, don't have a big challenge, but maybe tomorrow will have. And then you must be prepared for tomorrow. Okay, one of them is the words of Jesus speaking in John 3, verse 34. He whom God has sent utters the words of God. So when Jesus is speaking, God is speaking. Now, the best way to get to know God is through Scripture. So every time that Jesus teaches us something in all the books of the New Testament, especially in the Gospel, when Jesus tells us to do this or not to do that, it's God speaking to us. And we have a lot of words that the Father, and a lot of principles that the Father is speaking to us that we can get from Scripture. Okay? So it's so important when you have that challenges to go and sit and open Scripture and just to start to read it. Many times I've made a mistake and I'm always so annoyed with myself. Then, for instance, we've got intercession early in the morning, and then I didn't have quiet, a long part of quiet time before that. Maybe I've just read the Scripture or two, and then I think, okay, I'm now going to close my door and I'm going to quickly have a bit of quiet time. And then the phone rings, and then I put on my laptop, and then someone sends me an email that I think I have to address right now. And it just goes on like that. And when you look at your watch again, then you see, oh, it's 11 o'clock. And then you didn't have that place where you had quiet time. And so many times I regret it, because then the challenges of the day come, and then I don't feel strong. Because if you feed yourself with Scripture, then you're building your inner man. That's the similar with praying. It's so important that we pray a lot for when that challenges come, that you've got reserves. Otherwise, if you go, I know in my own life, if I would for 3 or 4 days not spend quality time with God, I get very irritated and I get very, I just feel something's wrong. I can feel it in my spirit. Something hasn't been fed. Just as if we don't feed our bodies in the natural, you need a good balanced diet, you need to drink water and eat different kind of food. And similar in Scripture, or as a Christian, maybe if you haven't been to church for 6 weeks or anything like that, then you will start to feel, maybe for some of you it might be a week, even if you skipped 1 week, then you will feel, but something's not right. Okay. Then the second one, the words of Jesus are life-giving. Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh is no help at all. So that's I can connect that with the part where we started in the front, that it said, rather trust in God than trusting in riches. And here it says again, for the flesh is no help at all. Many times, you can think of that little, I don't know how many of you have watched Ice Age. I've watched it now a million times because my kids are watching it all the time at home. And there's this little mice type of a creature in Ice Age 2, and he's climbing against this wall, and then the water is starting to come through that whole dam scenario, and he puts his one finger in there, and then another one comes, and he tried to do this, and then there's just too much. Then the whole dam wall is just breaking. And I think many times in life, I know it because I'm there as well. I'm a parent, I'm a father, I'm a husband. And many of you have got the same challenges. Then you just see another hole coming, and then you can maybe think, this is the solution for that one, and this is the solution for that one. But when it just come at you and you just feel, but nothing's working out today, what are you going to trust in? Are you going to think, but maybe what I learned when I was a student, maybe because I'm an older person, I've got wisdom, maybe I'm rich, I can buy someone to fix it. There's many things that you can think of, but I tell you this morning, guys, there's only one solution for every problem, and that's in Jesus Christ. Amen. The third one, Jesus' words conquer the devil. Now, that's very important. As I said earlier, remember, the devil hates us. He hates our marriages, our kids, our church, our God, everything. So he's always walking there around like a roaring lion, and he's always trying to see where he can devour, where he can hurt, where he can break. There's no love, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, love and peace and hope and joy and those type of things in him. He only wants to try and see if he can devour and hurt. Now, the news that I can give you this morning, the higher up you are in God's kingdom, for instance, the devil will always try to first attack the husband before the wife, because it's just a spiritual principle. He will always go for the authority, because if he can get a husband to maybe sin, or in a certain sense, or to mess things up, then the whole family can be destroyed. If you can get a pastor or a small group facilitator or someone, if that person can let's put it this way, can backslide or something bad happens, then a lot of people might be offended. Then the devil can think, but okay, if I get that husband, then his kids and wife and everything will maybe fall apart. And that's the sad thing. But the husband, the man, he's the spiritual authority. And in many circumstances at your work or places, sometimes you must ask God, why has put you at the place that you are? You know, you can Francois, you all know Francois, he uses it as such a good example. He always says he works for God, but God has given him just a daytime job, but he loves church and he loves ministry. Now, all of you who know him will know that, and that's why I'm so glad he's having a holiday. He's always in church, and I can learn always so much from his heart. It's always a blessing. Then scripture says, I just want to read one more scripture to you. In 1 John, I write to you, young man, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. We can't overcome the evil one without the word of God. That word of God must be in our hearts. It must abide in us. And that this is the heart, this is the message that I want all of us just to visit again. Because on Tuesday morning when we had intercession, it just came, just God just prompted our hearts to pray for us as a church. Many people, you know, at this stage of the year, some people are starting to get a bit tired and discouraged and maybe a bit weak. And, you know, maybe you've got really, really wolves in front of the door. And this morning, I just want to encourage you guys. We all know God is our Father. He's a good Father. His hand is open for us. But there's something that we should do as well. We should abide in Him. And that's the big word that I want to use this morning. Then last scripture is in Romans 10, verse 17. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And as we said, when Christ is speaking, then it's God speaking. We can know that. We can make it our own. I actually thought when I was preparing, I wanted to add a whole part of scripture about just the Bible. And maybe some of you have got questions about why, how it was written, and it was humans writing it. But I can encourage you, you can anytime come and borrow some of the Bible school DVDs. There's very good sessions and teachings on that where you can understand it a lot better. Okay. Now I want all of you this morning, and I really believe we are talking, and I believe we're going to come back to that, but God is talking to us about becoming more of a family, becoming more of a unit. So I want you guys, as you are sitting here this morning, just someone that you're comfortable with, someone you know. If you don't want to, you can just pray on your own. But I want you to just to turn to someone, and I don't want to pray. I'm going to pray with some of you, but I want you to turn to someone you feel comfortable with, and just ask that person for one thing. If there's more, that's also okay. And if that person is comfortable, just to touch him maybe on the shoulder and ask him, what can I pray for you? What's your biggest challenge right now? Because there's a lot of power in prayer. So I'm just going to give a few minutes now, and I want each and every one of us just to turn to someone and then just pray together and just ask God for whatever your challenge might be. Just bring it before God. Okay, can we do that for a minute or five? Okay, guys, those of you who are still praying, if you still need more prayer, please come to me afterwards. We can pray also together and just agree. And I want to end off this morning. I'm going to pray for us as well. But I want to end off by the words of King David here in Psalm 23. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." And the important thing is David is talking about restoration and that just that place of still waters and relaxing a bit. Because I know from Scripture that King David had a lot of tough days as well. He was the king of the country. There were many wars. He also had his places in life where he fell and he made mistakes. And all of us, some more regularly than others or from time to time, we also just have to come to that place and to acknowledge that God is our shepherd. We must go to that place of the still waters, of just again and sit at the feet of the Lord. And then it will help us so much if we can just abide in Him. And this morning I want to just end off by saying and asking all of us together to rather trust in God than in any other thing that there is to trust in. Scripture was talking in the start about not to trust in riches. We come into this world, everything we have, we need to learn. And when we go out again, it's also the way that we came in. It's going to be, we're going to take nothing with us, as we said. Father God, this morning, as your children, Father God, we just want to say, Lord God, that you are the potter, Lord God, and that you are the wine dresser, Lord God, and that you are the shepherd, the good shepherd, Father God. And many times, Lord, there are circumstances in our life, and we try to figure it out with our intellect and maybe with knowledge or books or anything, and we don't come to you the way that we should, Father God. And I just want to repent on my behalf, not doing it always and trying to figure out things. But Lord, thank you that your invitation is always there, that we can come to that still waters, Father God, and that we can just abide in you, Lord God. And thank you that you will protect us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your words are so powerful that it can give us life, Father God. And when those dark challenges come, or maybe when we just feel down, or we feel that things are too much for us, Father God, thank you that we can just read Scripture and that it will feed us, Father God, that we will bear good fruit when we fill ourselves with your word, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can pray to you, that we can speak to you, that you will show us Scripture, that when we know Scripture in our hearts, Father God, that you will always bring it back to us, and that it will sustain us and that it will feed us, Father God. And I just pray for every family represented here this morning, Lord God. I just pray the blood of Jesus Christ over us, Lord God. I just pray that you'll bless us and protect us, that you'll keep us, Father God, and that not the sun or the moon will hurt us in any way, Lord God. Thank you that we can be your children, Lord, and that we can come under your hand into a safe place, Father God, and that we can know, Lord God, no matter what waves or what challenges tomorrow might bring, Lord God, that we will be safe in your hands, Father God. I pray for us, Father God, for each family, for wisdom, Lord God, that when we have to make decisions, Lord God, that you will show us clearly to go right or left, Lord God. I pray it in Jesus' name, Lord God, and thank you that we could have been here this morning together as your children, as your church, Lord God. Thank you for every prayer that has been prayed, Father God. And thank you, Lord, that we know we're not just rehearsing something or just saying something, but we are praying to our living God through Jesus Christ, Father God. Thank you that we can be in that place, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, friends.